What is going on, you sexy, beautiful, wonder, bunch of other synonyms, as I always say, people. I love you guys. Thank you so much for the support on the podcast. They're almost reaching 1,000 per episode now, which is just mind-blowing considering where it started with, like, I don't know, 50 views. So that's been super cool, and I have you guys to thank for that because you've been sharing and starting to pick up on Spotify and get recommended to people. So thank you so much, and it's starting to have the impact that I wanted. Excuse the background noise if you guys can hear it, but nonetheless, let's get into the shit. So, one of the questions I get most often due to the fact that people watch my content on TikTok and now Instagram and they see what I post and what I talk about is, what does it mean, one, to love yourself? Like, what is self-improvement? What is self-love and self-fulfillment? What does it even mean? Because a lot of people really don't have a base understanding, and I get it because I was there as well. I didn't understand what any of that meant. So that's a big one. And then the other one is, how do you improve those things and how do you work on yourself? And I can tell you, it's not an easy thing. It's something that takes time, and we're all on that journey. And if someone tells you that's in that space of working on themselves, that they've got it figured out, they're fucking lying to you. 100%. The most successful people I've ever met that have mentored me, or I've mentored people that I know, or just, you know, people that I've met that I know do really well, they're oftentimes the ones that haven't worked on themselves, and they hit a level, and then they're depressed because the money doesn't make them happy. And I've talked about it all the time. I'm like, you know, if you're angry, upset when you're broke, it's going to be the same thing when you're happy, right? You have to work on the mental side of things as much as you do the physical, the materialistic, and the monetary side of things. It's more important in my mind personally is if you develop this mindset first. It doesn't mean fake it till you make it, but if you can develop those mindsets that are required to be fulfilled, to be joyful, to be happy when you're broke, it carries on so much more when you have the money. And that's just my personal belief from the people that I've met. And personally, you know, I'm not anywhere where I'm going to be monetarily. But I know once I reach that level, having worked on myself now is going to pay off huge. You know, it's going to pay dividends for sure. But I want to talk about what self-love and self-improvement even means for me personally. And hopefully that can help people out and you can relate to it. And if you're already doing it, then great. But tune in, please. So you guys, you know, maybe we can bounce off one another. Is for me, self-improvement and self-love, I really look at it from a spiritual mindset, and I answer this the same way as when people ask me, what does spirituality mean? Because I've had that question quite a few times, and I've done a recent podcast on it, so go and check that out if you want a more in-depth answer, is the difference between spirituality and religion, etc., etc. Is for me, self-improvement and self-love really means working on yourself always and always. And the biggest forms that I can think of that in is for me developing my mindset, because without our mind, we're nothing. And you can learn, but if you don't apply, it means absolutely nothing. Knowledge that's not applied does nothing for you. So yes, you can read the books. Yes, you can listen to the podcast. Yes, you can do all these things, but how are you applying it and making a difference, not only for yourself, but for other people? That's the most important thing. And if you attain that knowledge, right, and you keep it to yourself and you're selfish with it, you're not doing the world any favors. And there's a time and a place where you should stick to yourself. You should absorb that knowledge and apply it. And then once you understand it, that's when you can start to share with people. So there's a side of things where you do have to be a little bit selfish for a minute. But you have to be able to share that. So the biggest forms of self-improvement for me personally come from, number one, understanding my emotions. That's been the biggest shift for me over the past 2 years, just understanding where my emotions are coming from, how to analyze them, and in that moment, just embracing it and understanding, okay, why do I feel this way? Why is this person feeling this way towards me? How do I respond in a respectful manner, but express how I truly feel? And that's not easy. That's probably the hardest part of this, is understanding your emotions. And you have to take a deep dive and take accountability. And one of the greatest things I did for that, and I'm gonna continue to do it because it's helped me reflect, is the people that are closest to you. And you have to be careful with this because, let me explain. The people that are closest to you, I want you to ask them the 3 things that you think that you can improve on and the 3 things that you do really well from their point of view. And take this with a grain of salt. So if you're going to do it from someone that you truly trust and you know they have their best interest at heart, because some people are going to give you some bullshit response and you don't want that. You want them to be very real and raw. And don't take advice that you wouldn't, if you wouldn't trade place with that person, don't take advice from them. But you can at least ask, what are the 3 areas that I can improve? And they might tell you, hey, you can improve in your communication. And then you can reflect and go, is my communication really that bad? Be honest with yourself. And then you can analyze and go, okay, I can improve in this area. And that's the point of it, is to be able to reflect, put your ego at the door, humble yourself, and ask yourself, how can I improve from the people that know you the best? So that was one of the biggest things that I've done, and it helped me understand emotionally where I'm at, how I can improve, and how people are viewing me. And understanding that every person that you meet has a different view on you, a different perception of you. And at the end of the day, that doesn't matter. But if you can hold yourself accountable to have the best impression every single time you meet someone, that's what's important. Because first impressions can sometimes be your last impressions. And I learned that the hard way. In the form of viewing other people, screw up opportunities, screw up whether it be a job opportunity, a business opportunity, a relationship. I haven't really personally gone through that very much because I learned that at a young age that your first impression is very critical. And so I take it seriously. And I do it from a good place in my heart. I don't do it to, you know, put on a facade or a fake version of me so that people will like me. I don't care. I want to be the most genuine and authentic person that I can be. And if people resonate with that, that's awesome. If they don't, it's okay. You won't be in my life. I don't care. But that has been one of the biggest shifts for me, is becoming self-aware. That's, at the end of the day, that's what I would put, is being self-aware. The second thing I would say is expanding my mind and expanding my knowledge, because where you're at now, your mind only got you to that point because it's what you know. So you have to expand if you want to keep growing, and you have to learn more, attain more knowledge, and just have a growth mindset. And so for me, that came in the form of, one, getting mentorship at times in my life, learning new things and getting outside of my comfort zone. That, I would say, alone has been the biggest shift in my life, is doing things that are uncomfortable for me. And that came in the form of, leaving college basketball, which I had pursued for a long time. I put all of my energy and effort, and both mind and physical, into, and I attained my goal, well, part of my goal, which was to play college basketball after not playing any high school basketball, which is very, very difficult to do on a scholarship nonetheless. And for me, part of the reason I did it was just to prove people wrong, because I had so many haters when I was, and I hate that word. I'm just a human. I'm not any greater than anyone else. But I had so many people hating on me that I was like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to go prove you wrong. And that's why I did it, truthfully. I love the sport of basketball. I love sports in general. But the biggest reason I did it was to prove people wrong and prove myself right. And then leaving college basketball to go and pursue the other side of my dreams, just to impact people's lives, to take care of my mom and my dad, to do all these things that I have put on a larger pedestal than just sports, is to have an impact. That was really difficult for me, and I had to figure out who I was after that, because I wasn't attaching my identity to sports anymore, and that's not how people viewed me. And that took me a little while to get to. But the form in which I was uncomfortable was having to go out and learn new things, get mentored, which is what I was leading into, by people that have done what I wanted to do. And one of the biggest shifts I had to make was being more open and more vocal. And talking to strangers every single day for an opportunity that I had in business was very, very uncomfortable for me, but I did it anyways, and it took me time, but I eventually got there, and it helped me grow. And every time I've gotten uncomfortable, I've grown, every single time. And it's so scary, super scary, to take that leap and understand that, you know, I understand there's a better side of me on the other side of this, and I understand there's a more equipped version of me, a better version of me, a more relatable version of me, but I have to go through this pain and this agony and this uncomfort to get there. It's really, really hard to grasp onto that idea. But once you do it a few times, you realize that the shit pays off. It truly does. And I can tell you that from the past 2 years of how uncomfortable I've gotten and how much I've grown, it's only come from the times when I was uncomfortable and I didn't want to do something, truthfully. So that has been one of the biggest things for me, is getting uncomfortable. Another huge shift that I made was focusing on my mental health. And what does that mean? That means I started reading books, which I had put off for a very long time because I hated reading. But every successful person that I've met and that I've studied, they all read, whether it's in the form of an audiobook or a physical book. They read, read, read. They study the people that they want to emulate, and they apply. And if you can save 10 years of mistakes from reading a book, that's a good investment, and an investment that you should be making in yourself. So I started reading a lot, and I continue to do it. You know, I haven't been perfect with it, but I try and read at least 10 pages a day, if not more. And there's days where I'm trying to focus and read maybe an hour, and I'm trying to get up to like 2 hours, 3 hours a day. So that's been a huge shift for me. Another side of that in the mental capacity is listening to podcasts, which I do daily. Sometimes I miss here and there, but I try and listen to at least one, and sometimes I listen up to three. Like today, for example, I've already listened to two and a half, and it's 11 o'clock, almost 12 o'clock. So that's been a huge thing for me, and I've taken so much away from those podcasts, and I can do it on the go, which is why I do it. It allows me to obtain knowledge, to grow, and to subconsciously hold on to a lot of the things that I'm hearing, even though I might not realize it in the moment. I'm telling you, sometimes I say some things, or, you know, if I listen to a sales podcast and then I go and apply something, I'm like, where did that come from? Like, oh my gosh, the podcast I just listened to. So over time, it compounds, and you're going to pick up on a lot of things you're not realizing. And that has helped me grow so, so much. And I study the people that I want to emulate, like I said, and I study the people that have what I want to have, and the people that are really good in the areas that maybe I suck and I want to improve. And that has helped me a ton. So I highly recommend you start listening to the right podcasts to develop and grow your mind and learn new ideas. Super beneficial. The third thing that I would say is a tie-in of meditation and truthfully just being at peace and having quiet moments. And because our life is so fast-paced, we don't realize sometimes that we have to just chill and take a deep breath and take accountability for what we're doing, what's going on in our day, and just relax. And if you really want to be emotionally grounded, you have to have those quiet moments. Whether, like I said, whether that comes in the form of meditation or it comes in the form of you just for 5 minutes shutting off all social media, getting off your phone, your computer, getting away from everybody, and just sitting in a quiet room, maybe with some music, I'm telling you, it will help you. And you might not want to do it in the moment, but as soon as you're done, you're going to feel so much more at peace. Your brain's going to be quieted down, and you can just have your thoughts and be in the moment with them and be in tune with yourself. Super important. Meditation, however, has been a huge shift for me. And I can tell you right now, after reading The Placebo Effect, understanding metaphysics, quantum physics, I don't know those things to the degree that I want to, but I have studied them to a form. And I can tell you, when I am meditating, I notice a huge difference in my awareness, for one. But two, I'm more grounded in who I am. I don't care what anyone thinks to a degree. I know my vision and what I want to do. And if someone doesn't align with that, it's okay. It's okay. I know what I want. I know where I'm headed. And I'm going to get there. It's a matter of time. But the meditation has become huge for me. And my meditation, my form of meditation, might be different than yours, but I've just done what works best for me, and I'm always trying to cultivate that and add new things to it, which I've done over the years. And I'm not perfect with it. Like I said, I don't do it every single day. I try to, but if there's days when I miss, it's all right. Just get right back on. It's better that you miss one day, get right back into it, than miss one day, and that compounds into a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, which I've let happen before, and I don't want to do that anymore. So if you miss that day, it's okay. Just jump right back into it. And try and become as consistent with you can as you can, excuse me, and build it as a habit. So those two have been huge for me. And then the last form of, you know, the mental side of things that I would say is truthfully just doing the things that bring you joy. I've talked about the fact that I deal with anxiety pretty heavily. And I think a lot of times people will tell you, yeah, I deal with anxiety or I have depression, because they almost want you to feel bad for them. And that's not my point in saying that. I just want you to understand, as someone that might not seem like I do have anxiety, to a form, I really do. And the way that I deal with it is physical fitness and mental health. And the mental side of things for me might just be going for a nightly drive and literally just being acutely aware of maybe the birds in the background or the wind or whatever it is, traffic noises, whatever it is that I can take the attention off of me and put it on something else. It really helps you quiet your mind. And that might come in the form of me going hiking, right? There's tons of different ways. But one of the biggest things that I've learned is taking the attention off yourself. So whether you need to go on a hike and look at a stream of water for 7 minutes and just completely zone out, get into a different mindset, do that. If you need to go work out, do that. Do whatever works for you, because your vice is going to be different than other people's. And you know what brings you joy. You know what brings you happiness. And that comes into my last point of this. Is if you want to mentally be acute and be aware of your emotions, you have to surround yourself with the right people. And I can tell you, over the past 4 years, the biggest shift that I made in my life is getting people out of my life that negatively impacted me. If you don't make me feel good, if you're not helping me get to where I want to go, you're not in my life. And that became a very strong rule of mine, because I noticed the difference, truthfully. And it's hard. It's really, really hard. And I've talked about this analogy before in the past. So if you've listened to my podcasts in any of the past, you know, 30 episodes, you'll know I've talked about this, and it stands true for me. My mom, when I was very young, and recently reminded me of this about a year ago, she gave me this analogy of viewing your life and the people in your life as an auditorium. And you have your rows in your auditorium, right? You've got row 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll just use 3 as an example. So we've got 1, 2, 3. on that first row are going to be the people, excuse me, that you love. They make you feel good. They're there to support you no matter what you do. They've got your back, right? You know they're not talking shit on you. None of that. Whatever you decide to do, they're there for you. They're going to push you and hold you accountable. Those are row one. That's the people that you need in your life. Those are the people you should surround yourself with. People that are trying to win. People that are trying to improve. Row two is going to be the people that you love, right? They're great. But maybe sometimes when you're around them, they make you feel a little bit toxic, or they're not supporting you, or they're trying to bring you down. That's not good, right? You love them. Sometimes they make you feel good, but it's not 100% of the time. That's row two. And row three are going to be those people that, you know, oftentimes as family members, where you know they inherently love you. They have your best interests at heart, but at the same time, they're hating on you, right? They're trying to drag you down and pull you down, and they see you trying to win and improve yourself, and it scares them, so that they reflect on you, right? And they go, yeah, I see you trying to win, but I tried that and it didn't work. Fuck that. That's their truth. That's not your truth. So those people are going to be on row three. Maybe you text them every once in a while. You call them. Hey, I love you. Just want to check in on you. But they're not around you constantly. Those aren't the people that you're around the most. So pick your group. Pick the people that you love the most. Pick the people that make you feel good. And those are the people you surround yourself with. And if you don't have that, go find it. It's not easy, but this is the whole podcast is about. It's getting outside of your comfort zone, getting acutely aware of what you want out of your life, and then going and surrounding yourself with those things that are needed and required in order for you to do that. So to sum all that up, that's what mental health, that's what spiritual health, that's what self-improvement looks like for me. And the last thing I would add to that is physical fitness. Because I can tell you, if you don't have an anchor in your life, something that you can always go towards and hold on to, you're going to be very lost, truthfully. And that's different for every single person. It might be painting for you, right? It might be physical fitness. It might be going to the grocery store every single day. I don't know what it is for you. It's different for every single person. But for me, it's the gym. Because if you can hold yourself accountable in the gym, constantly improve, do the things that you know that you have to do in the gym, right? Have your goals, hit those goals, and be consistent with it every single day. Maybe it's 5 times a week, whatever it is. If you can do that, you can carry that into all other areas of your life. And I want to give a big shout out, because I've cultivated that mindset over the years through basketball, but I have also watched a lot of Dwayne Johnson, and he talks about the fact that the gym is his anchor. He knows no matter what goes on, he can go to that gym. It's going to make him feel good. He's going to push himself. He's going to get his sweat in. It's the hardest part of your day if you allow it to be and you go hard. So everything else is going to seem a lot easier. Along with the physical fitness side of things is eating right. And the way that I was raised vegan until I was like 9, somewhat from my mom. My dad was a professional chef, so I would eat meat when I was at house and whatnot. And then I started eating pretty bad when I was like 10 to 16, I would say, 17 maybe. And then I got right back into eating very healthy or healthier. And in the past years, when I've really prioritized my physical fitness more, so I've really focused on what I put in my body, because everything has a vibration. And if you don't understand what that means, I'd really encourage you to look into it. There's some great people that talk about it. I believe Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about it quite a bit. David Meltzer will talk about it. And there's tons of people that will talk about it. You can just Google it. But without going into too much detail, everything has a vibration. So if I eat food that is filled with chemicals, that's extremely toxic and processed, has a bunch of preservatives, that is now going to vibrate within me. So now I'm going to be toxic. I'm going to be nasty. I'm going to feel like shit, right? And that's going to reflect. And I'm going to treat other people like that. You can't convey to other people what you're not feeling. So if I feel like shit, I can't go and convey to you that I feel really good. It's just not my truth, and you're going to know that. We're very intuitive as human beings. So what you put in your body matters. And, you know, you can use an 80-20 rule if you want to. You can go 100%, but I encourage you to take it slow, whatever you do. Ramp it up and get to a point where you can sustain it. I eat like a dog. And people ask me all the time, what's your diet? I eat like a dog. And when I say that, I mean I eat almost the same things throughout the week, every single day. And I love what I eat, but I eat the same things because it's consistent for me. I like the food. It's very healthy. That's what works for me. I don't know if that's what works for you. But figure out what that is and what you can sustain. Because if someone's telling you a fad diet that you're going to do for 6 weeks and you can't sustain it for the rest of your life, you won't. So don't do it. Pick something that, unless you're going to compete or something to the extreme, pick something that if you can't do it for the rest of your life, don't do it for 6 weeks because it's not attainable. You're going to put the weight back on. You're going to lose the muscle, whatever you're trying to attain. It's not realistic. And as soon as I understood that, you can build a lifestyle that's when I picked the things that I knew I could sustain. So figure those things out. And if you need to have a cheat day, have a cheat day. That's what I do. Sometimes, you know, maybe one time a year, two times a year, that might turn into a cheat few days. Whatever it is, figure it out. But understand that life is a very long journey in the grand scheme of things. It is short, but it's long if you take it day to day. So don't beat yourself up too much if you have a bad day. Get right back on it, because like I said, it's better to miss one day, get right back to it, than miss one day and let that balloon into a week. So you have to have that mindset. Just because you fucked up doesn't mean that you have to fuck up for a long time. So get back on it. So in the grand scheme of things, like I said, I really like the grand scheme of things. I keep saying that. That has been what self-improvement has looked like for me, especially in the past 2 years. And, you know, it's helped me a ton. And it's a lot of work. It's a daily thing. It's a daily routine to improve yourself. But you'll notice slowly over time, you will start to improve. You'll say different things. Like I said, you'll become acutely aware of who you're surrounding yourself with. And you'll see your life improve. A year ago, like I said, and you can credit this to maybe the fact that I was just too young. You can credit this to whatever you want to. But the way that I view it is, a year ago, a year and 2 months ago, I was living in my friend's basement, like I said, with no money. $0 to my name once the pandemic hit. I was living off of the fact that I had my basketball business, and that was keeping me afloat. I was probably making $600 a month. So I could cover my car, I could cover my gas, and I could cover food. That was it. That was all I had. And I was living in a 200 square foot bedroom that was just gross. Gross, gross, gross. I had nothing to my name, essentially. And in that year, I focused a lot on reading, listening to the right podcast, everything that I just told you guys. And the most important thing amongst all that that I would tell you is you have to understand what you're willing to tolerate. So for me, it wasn't a choice to go get a job where I was going to make $10 an hour. That's not my standard. You have to have your standard set. For me, it's just not it. My standard is I'm going to do something that's going to bring me fulfillment, but I'm also, I know for me, to get to where I want to go, I have to save a good amount of money. So I didn't pick a job where I was going to make $10 an hour. I didn't pick a job where I was going to make $15 an hour. I picked a job where I was going to make $20 to $25 an hour, where I knew I could put the hours in, I could make the money, I could save the money, and get to where I want to go. But I held myself to that standard. I wouldn't have gotten the job I did had I not done those things. And is it where I want to get? Absolutely not. But it's a stepping stone. And for a 21-year-old getting to a job where you're making $50,000 a year, at the time, that was a good step for me. I don't like to talk about money with you guys, but I'll tell you. You know, as a 21-year-old, at a point, probably making about $75,000 for, you know, equivalent to $75,000 for probably 5-6 months there, it put me in a better position. From, you know, 7 months ago, having been living in a bedroom with no money. But it's because I held myself to that standard. That's what you have to do. And I continue to do that so I can improve myself every single day, every single week, every single month, and every single year. It's a compound effect. And I can tell you right now, I can promise you this, because my standards are where they are, and I know what I'm willing to tolerate. 5 years from now, I'm not going to be the same person. 2 years from now, I'm not going to be the same person. I'm going to level up. I'm going to buy the things I want to buy. I'm going to live life the way I want to live it, because it is my standard. And it's how I view myself. And my will to win cannot be bought. And way too many people are selling out because they don't know who they are. So figure out who the fuck you are. Figure out what you want to do. And at the end of the day, you got to hold yourself accountable. And that is going to conclude this podcast. And I hope you guys can take something away from this and apply it. That's all I ask. Apply it. I don't run ads. I don't do any of that shit. I don't ask you guys for anything. But share it. Please, this is the way that I improved, is I had people share with me things that helped them, and then I started to watch, and I started to watch, and I started to grow, and I started to share with other people, and that's what life is about. It's about helping other people. So if this helped you in some way, you think it'll help another person, please share it. That's all I ask of you. With that being said, I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for the messages that you share with me. If I can't get back to them, I'm sorry. I've expressed I'm taking a little bit of a step back from social media. For my mental health reasons, what I just talked about, is something doesn't feel good to me, I take a step back and I reanalyze and reassess. So for me, I need a little bit of a break. But that doesn't mean that I don't love you guys, I don't support you guys, I don't see your messages, I see all of it. So thank you so much. It keeps me going, it keeps me pushing. And without you guys, I wouldn't be able to do this stuff. So I love you, and tune in next week. I appreciate you. Have an amazing day, and go spread some positivity. Peace.